Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe you serve a mighty God? Oh, I said, do you believe you serve a mighty, able, faithful God? He's worthy to be praised. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Live with the Rafers. I'm Mary Hall Rafert.
I'm Tyrone Rafert.
And we're on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we are.
Beautiful,
and sunny afternoon.
Let's
start this off real good. If you want to call in and be a part of this conversation, call us at 619-638-8499.
Again, that number is 619-638-8499. Yeah, okay. And we encourage you to read a bit of a synopsis on the website on Blog Talk Radio, let you know sometimes where we're headed when we're talking. There's also a link on that site to the catalog of books I've written on Amazon.com, some suspense, romance, fantasy, Christian living, poetry, and essays, all for something for everybody. You know, just dig in and enjoy. And we certainly appreciate your patronage.
Oh, yeah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are certainly happy to be here on this afternoon. On Blog Talk Radio. Amen. I'm reading it.
Now, why did I not know that?
Well,
okay.
Hey, what can I say? You ought to type it and give me a copy before we go on air. That's all I have to say.
Well, you have access to the same screen I do in the studio, so.
Your screen's in that room.
Have access to the same screen. That's in the studio.
All right.
Well, basically, you know, I've been so disheartened by the political atmosphere in this country that I don't even have words to express what I really feel.
The thing about it is, so many other nations are laughing at the United States and our bigotry that goes on in this country. It's amazing. It's just amazing. You know, I was telling people years ago in 1989 how much I was I went to certain states and how I was treated, and they said in this day and time. I said yes, in this day and time. Now it's really being seen even more so, and it's not just in the southern states. You know, where a lot of people say, oh, the presidents down south, they even presidents up north too. It doesn't make a difference where you are. The thing about it is, some people just let you know flat out how they feel, and others try to camouflage it.
Yeah, that's true, but
I guess it's true.
I never really experienced pure hatred until I moved here, so.
Yeah.
I mean, in the South, you know where people are coming from. You don't have to guess.
I mean, you know, when you walk past somebody and they look at you and say, "Don't touch me," you know, I'm like, I don't want to touch you no way. So, I'm not looking to go out just touching people, you know, just because I see you. I can admire people from a distance, you know, and don't have to. You know, it's not about touching. It's not about feeling on you or even desiring you, you know. Because one thing for sure, beauty's on the skin deep anyway. But ugly's right to the bone.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I did not say that.
It's not our outer man that controls the. It's not our outer man that controls the inner man. It's the inner man that controls the outer man.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Since that's true, you can be looking good on the outside, but be evil on the inside.
And that's true of so many
ugly,
people.
That means ugly to the bone.
That is.
But God is able to save the ugly.
Man, creating us a clean heart. Because once we have a...
That's this mind being you that's also in Christ Jesus. And all you people who talk about you love the Lord and hating people, I want you to read 1 John. You know, how can you love those whom you see? And then think that. How can you hate those you see? Mm-hmm. How can you hate those that you see? Thank you. I know I'm saying something.
Right.
How can you hate those that you see and say that you love God whom you've never seen?
Yeah, that's stretching things a bit.
Mm.
But it also means they haven't read the rest of the Bible.
Now, I know that's right. You know, I was at a service the other night, and there's some people into accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then they got ready to clip on. I said, wait a minute, before we do, we have to tell you now that your walk, as you begin your walk, you have to begin studying and reading the Word of God and asking God to fill you with His Spirit. Because initial salvation is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But that's not the whole story. You know, we have to learn how to walk in the way of holiness, in the way of sanctification. I mean, it's not a denomination. This is what God is. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So how do I become likened unto God? Philippians say, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." How can I know the mind of Christ if I never get into His Word to see what He says?
Well, it's a little difficult, but some people are out there perpetrating as Christians. They have the lingo, but they don't have the life.
You know the story of Jesus when He comes out of Bethany and He sees the fig tree and He sees leaves on the fig tree and He walks over to the fig tree and He finds out that it has no figs, and He cursed the tree. If you read that illustration, you read what He's talking about. He's talking about Israel having a form of godliness, but yet when you get close to them, you find out that all they have is outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that's going on in the church world today. We have a lot of people who have outward appearances but have no substance of God in their life. It's all right to have to wear a backwards collar. I don't hardly wear them anymore because so many people are wearing them. You got a man wearing them. He's Reverend whatever his name is, and he's talking any kind of way. So my life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to see the reflection of Christ in my life, not the clothes, not the backwards collar that I can wear because I've been ordained a preacher. In front of the book of Jeremiah, God said He called him while he was yet in his mother's womb. But when he got out of there, he had to show people who he was serving, who he represents. We have to know more than just know how to dress. We have to know how to exhibit ourselves as those who have been called out from the world and walking in the body of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really more a lifestyle. I've seen several times that people say, well, people will hear the life you live, the message you preach by a lifestyle, more than they will by the one you preach with your mouth.
Mm. Mm.
And I think that's true.
I do too.
We can say a lot of things, but if we're not living what we say, what's the point?
If you'd like to join in on the conversation, see, I'm going to get this again today. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, call us at 619-638-8499.
That number again is 619-638-8499.
This time we can't say that we've been forgetting it. You may not say it again, but at least we got it in twice.
Well, it just depends on how animated we get into this conversation. I was listening to some of the host ladies on The View today. I don't listen to that show too often, but I'm beginning to appreciate some of their comments as it pertains to the foolishness that we see exhibited in the presidential candidates. And, you know, there's a diverse group of women on that show with different ideologies, and that's okay. But the one thing that at least three of them agreed upon was the fact that, you know, all these allegations Trump is making against Bill Clinton has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton.
And you know, when are you going to turn over your tax papers? You know, why are you were so arrogant in wanting President Obama to turn over his birth certificate, which everybody knew that he would not have gotten as far as he did without having a birth certificate and already proven that he was a United States citizen. Now here you come talking about I'll turn him over after I get in the White House. No, wait a minute. So how foolish are we to allow a man who says that he's for us and he won't even show his tax?
Well,
his tax report.
But the thing of it is, you know, since it's been proven that he attempted to be his publicist once before, he's still trying to be his own publicist because everything he says, he's saying it. One of the things that I read in an article today, it was about, you know, he keeps saying what he's worth, but his financial programs and formulas, forms, whatever, they don't say the same thing. So he keeps saying.
In the Cowboys, they say, you talk with forked tongue.
Well, speaking out the side of his neck, too. But.
You know,
he's trying to convince people, you know, what did he say? He made $550 million in 1 year, but he didn't pay taxes on that.
Maybe that's why he don't want
Yeah, well, you know, this whole article that I read, somebody went out there and went through the court system and found all these lawsuits that had been levied against him and tax warrants issued against him for not paying taxes. I mean, you know, if you're making so much money, why do you have a problem paying your fair share of taxes?
You know, and then another thing against me is that women come out and say against him, and all of a sudden now they're for him. How much money are you being paid? You know, let's talk about one thing. Now he said he didn't care anything about the people who are what you call them,
transgender.
Transgenders, and so now he gets what's his name or her name.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, that to go on TV and says, "Oh, I'm going to try him out." And how are you trying him out? You got all these cameras showing,
right?
And it's a setup. And if you're foolish enough to believe such a thing, it's a setup. I'm going to prove him to be true to his word. I'm going to see if he's true to his word. And you got cameras walking in. You got people walking. Everybody know who. Well, not everybody, because you walk by me, I still wouldn't know who you are. And if I saw you, I'm still going to call you what
you look like. Well, you know what? I said something I probably shouldn't have said, but I said, well, until somebody can prove that they have ovaries, can produce egg and have a menstrual cycle, as far as I'm concerned, they are not what they say they are.
I don't
care what you feel like
apple.
For the moment.
What happens to the Adam apple?
I don't know what happens to
cut
all
it
of
out
that.
What? You know,
the hormone production in our bodies help to promote who and what we are. I mean, as far as biologically. So fine. You think you're a woman today? Produce the ovaries, produce the fallopian tube. I don't understand how anybody can feel like they are something different than what they are and expect the whole world to bow at their feet.
You know, when we look back to history and as we trace history both in the Word of God and in history books, we'll find out that the nations that failed were on the same track that we are on now.
Oh, yeah.
When we lose our identity.
Sexual immorality.
That word.
But that's what it boils down to.
Yes, it does. Sexual immorality. And we think that we don't think about what we're doing or anything else. We just do. And we're finding out that as we begin to just let it all hang out. Let everything just come. You know, was you telling me about the man who went into the
girls' locker room?
Girls' locker room.
And 2 days in a row.
Himself, 2 days in a row. So what are we saying? There was a cartoon. That was, you know, where there was a man walking into the ladies' restroom. He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'm a lady." And there's no way he looks like a lady. What I'm saying is this, is that we open up, you know, Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you're going to find out how much trouble. We open up the box when we kick prayer out of school and we stop praying. When we stop acknowledging God and telling people what God is looking for. He's looking for holiness. He's not looking so much for a denomination. He's looking for people who are willing to serve him. And if just going to church is not serving God. That's where we go to learn how to walk this walk. Once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you have to get into the Word for yourself and see what God has to say about living the life. After you have come into light, now you have to walk in the light. And they said, you know, he said, John, 1 John, says, walk in the light that he is in the light. And so we have to know how to have fellowship one with another and know that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sin.
Okay. I had something I wanted to say and forgot just that fast.
No, that's not surprising.
Well...
Should have wrote it down when I was talking.
It's not, but you know, what I was going back to, I was reading this, and what I was thinking about was the fact that, supposedly, with all these allegations that Trump is bringing up against Bill Clinton, he's losing his edge in the polls. Now, I don't know who's taking these polls, so I don't know if I believe everything I hear about the polls. But the thing of it is Bill Clinton is not running for president. He served 2 terms. And under his leadership, we all prospered. Nobody can deny that.
Right after his leadership, we all went
I down. Mean, we had a surplus of money when he left office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then somebody came along and gave money to.
So we don't need a surplus.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. I
you know what? He didn't read the story of Joseph.
He didn't read the story of Joseph or.
You know,
saving
that money, leaving the surplus alone until the time it's needed.
How many people are operating? And I know a lot of us don't are not happy. You know. They said you ought to have. My dad once told me, he said you ought to have two. You should be able to have 2 months of rent or mortgage in your bank account because you never know what's going to happen. And you know, we have too many people living day by day, hour by hour, and they're not really thinking about what the future at all. And they said let the future take care of itself. Well. That's what you
feel. If we keep living, the future will.
Yeah.
We'll meet the future head on. And you know, and it is unfortunate that sometimes we just don't have the income to be able to do that. But when we do, I believe in saving every penny I can get my hands on rather than spending it.
Yeah, but when you step into a place where the surplus is already there. It's not. Don't just go in there running and say, "Ooh, look, I got all this money," just like a little child. You know, I know some people, especially one man in particular, who when his dad died, his dad left him a company, a trucking company. Within a year, he had destroyed the company.
Well, that's because he didn't know what to do with it. And see, that's another problem with people leaving. Everything you worked for to a spoiled brat child who never worked for anything and you never taught them anything, what do you think they're going to do with that? You know, leave your stuff to people who are going to, you know, build on it, not tear it down.
Well, first of all, teach your child, you know, that is not give me, here you are, that they should work for what they're going to receive. When you give people things,
they don't appreciate it.
But when they have to work by the sweat of their brow, that's really why the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Because when you don't work and you always have somebody giving you stuff and coming to your offense, when you do something wrong and your parents come and bail you out all the time, they'll let you stay in jail a couple of days, stay there a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah.
And see what the people inside the prisons are really like. If you can make it that long, because if you've been babied all your life, you're not gonna make it.
Mm-mm.
And you're not
probably
gonna
make it one night.
Mm-mm.
But that's the thing. We don't think about that.
Billy Bob out there, give me your cigarette.
Because unfortunately, you know, we live in a society that doesn't really care about people. And so, you know, when you've been in that sheltered space or place where people cater to you and you think the world outside of your family's going to cater to you, it won't. You are setting your kids up for the biggest failure when you allow them to think that the world will operate on their terms.
My parents used to tell me the world owes you nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And if you don't realize that you have to work for what you want, you have to get out there. I don't care how much money your parents have. That's their money.
That's right.
I want you to know that's my money. That's my money. I ain't got a whole bunch of money, but that's my money. And if I see you out there working now, it's up to me to help you or not. But if I see you working and you're trying, I'm more willing to help you than if you think you're just going to sit around and I'm going to work and then give you my money. Nope, I'm not going to do that. No.
Well,
fortunately,
I didn't have any money for my kids to think they could get, so.
Well, me either, but one of the things and I was working for a funeral home, and what I heard more often than anything was that, hurry up, let's get this person in the grave so we can go back and see what they left. To me, I just wanted to, one time they said that we were doing a military funeral, and they said, hurry up, put this chanson in the grave so we can go back and see what he left, what the insurance is going to give us. I wanted to turn around and hit him with that. I was on the honor guard with the rifle, and I wanted to turn around and hit him right in the face with the rifle.
Well, you know,
I didn't do it because I don't want to go to quick jail.
But I'm thinking, you know, with the money that I spend for insurance to make sure that somebody else has something, I think I'm going to start just spending that money down.
Well, you know what?
And leaving just enough to put me in the ground. Yeah.
And you know, since I've been in my 60s, it looked like every day I get something to tell me I'm going to die and I need to, you know, love. I said, I'd like to have one day, just one day, when I get mail and it's not one that says, you need more insurance. Now, let me tell you something. Insurance, they call it life insurance, but it really is
death insurance.
because only time you can get it is when you die, and you don't get to say how to spend the money.
Well, that depends on the type of policy.
Yeah, well.
some of it you
I
can use
you
while you're living.
Money, don't put that $2,000 in the ground. I mean, that money in the ground.
That's right. But, you know.
I don't care what I'm not looking for no $10,000 casket. No. Because, you see, in a little while, I'm going to be getting up anyway. I'm going to leave that casket where it is. So.
Well, you know, hopefully we can reconcile ourselves to the fact that death is a part of living.
Oh, yeah.
And families just need to deal with that.
Yeah.
And not be so saddened, especially if a person has had a fulfilling life. You know, when kids get killed, and yeah, that's sad. And people didn't get a chance to really live their life. That's sad. But for the most part, when people have had an opportunity to accomplish some things and live a fulfilling life, let's just, you know, remember them for what they've been able to do, and if they know the Lord, we don't need to worry about
them. One of Shakespeare's plays, he opened it up by saying, "We were born to die. The moment we were born, we were dying." And a lot of people, but be truthful with you, that's true.
It is because
every day is not promised to us.
Well, no day is promised.
No day is promised to us.
And
no hour, no second.
Mm-hmm. And the
I
sooner we
that.
Realize that, because, you know, I was looking at something, and I really have to try to turn myself away from so much news because it's really depressing. You know, people driving down the street, and poor man walking across the street got killed. Well, I'm sure he didn't plan to die that night.
Nope. Those are not playing today.
No, they didn't plan to die either.
No,
but
they did not buy a ticket to die.
So you know, when we have incidents like that to happen, we have to be able to reconcile ourselves to the fact that yes, we were born to die, and deal with that. And we can save ourselves a lot of grief by not caving into traditional trappings of long drawn out funerals and all that other stuff. You know, when I go, just at some point, you know, a month down the road after I drop dead, have a memorial service and celebrate how I live, not the fact that I died. That makes more sense to me. But, you know, what do I know?
No, Hebrews the 9th chapter, verses 24 through 28 talks about it's appointed unto man to die. So if you this is one appointment you can't cancel. It's one appointment that you can't, you know, when it comes your time, you can't put it off. God knows the number of our days. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. You know, just fell out too. And we have to understand that we the death is you know, it's, we don't know when it's gonna come, because if we did that, we stay away from that area. we don't know where it's gonna come, because if we did, we would stay away from it. But it says, and it's appointed unto man to die, once to die, and afterwards the judgment. So we have to understand that God has already appointed our time. But you don't have to hurry your time.
No. Nope.
But you have an appointment with death, and I'm not gonna get drunk and try to see how fast I can go, because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to address the appointment.
With some of the stuff that's going on in our society, I'm saying, nevertheless, Lord, come quickly. Because it's just too disheartening to have supposed grown folks acting like brats.
Acting worse than brats.
Because they can't have their way and threatening to sue and people bullying everybody else, and even the president, you know, bullying people by threatening to withhold federal funds if they don't let people go to whatever bathroom they want to go. You know, come on now. This is going too far. And I don't really care who it is or what position they hold or title or anything else. If we can't do things according to the Word of God, whatever we do is in vain.
My Lord.
It's in vain.
These are the times to try men's souls. We're really on a trial that more than anything else. We see that we're ending this world. This world is
not, and everyone has said this has been the absolute worst election. this is worse behavior than they did when, you know, they first started campaigning. You know, in the Wild Wild West, where they did all sorts of evil. To win a vote, but you know, this is ridiculous. And I'm praying right now that people are not going to be stupid enough to put a man in office who has demonstrated he cares nothing about this country or the people in it.
And what is his policy? He hasn't given us any policy. Well, if we had 90 seconds, we really wanted to tell you that, you know, we're happy that you join in on it. Join in.
Oh, yeah.
Next week we'll be back at the same time, same station. And go ahead, Mary.
Okay, and remember this. God loves you, and we do too.
All right.
Have a wonderful rest of this week, and enjoy all the time that God has given to you.
And get into the Word. Let the Word get in you. Bye-bye.